want to just share a couple of verses from the Bible. And the Apostle Paul, a man who hated Christians and who met the risen Christ on a road, not to Damascus, as one little boy said, but the road to Damascus. Okay, he was on a journey. And the person he was trying to disprove and say, he's dead, he's buried, forget him, suddenly appeared to him. And he had a blinding conversion in every sense of the word. And he wrote these words: I passed on to you what was most important and what had been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive. In other words, if you don't believe me, go and ask them. Check it out for yourself, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle, after the way I persecuted God's church. Three things in my sermon this morning, so you know when I'm about to finish. Point number one: Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. I mentioned earlier I go into a variety of situations and share the Christian message. I remember being in university on one occasion, and if you walk through the campuses, you see all sorts of messages on t-shirts. People advertising their favourite singer, people promoting different messages. One guy had got the letter K on his t-shirt. And when the opportunity came a bit later on, I said to him, what does the letter K stand for? Expecting it to stand for Kevin or Keith or, some pop group or whatever. He said to me, it stands for the word confused. Now, I was in a university, but even I know you don't spell confused with a K. You spell it with a C. So I said to him, hold on, you don't spell the word confused with a K. And he replied, you don't know how confused I am. Do you know what? When it comes to the death of Jesus, many, many people are confused. There are those who think he kind of backed himself into a corner. Circumstances got out of control and he had no other option but to let people take him and kill him. Some people believe that. I don't. Some people believe he was what we would call a martyr. That is, he was a good man who willingly gave his life as a good example. And throughout the years, there have been many martyrs, many people who have done that. But again, I don't believe that's what happened. The Bible puts it in another term. It talks about it being a ransom, or a sacrifice, or a offering. We know about ransoms because sadly, sometimes people get kidnapped. And they say, if you want to see your loved one again, we want some dosh. If you don't provide the money, you don't see them. Sacrifices, we don't have too many in this country. Sometimes you have to make a sacrifice. Do I go to church or watch the football? But it's my team and it's an important game. But actually, Jesus is more important, so I'll put the video on, watch it later. But actually, not hearing it or being there is a small sacrifice. And in life, there are bigger sacrifices. I missed the most important game ever for my current wife. When we were going out together, my team were in the FA Cup final and it was on live. And I didn't tell any of my mates this because I've never have lived it down. But I actually missed it so I could spend the day with her. That was a big sacrifice. It might not mean a lot to you, but it meant a lot to me. And I'm glad to say I managed to go the whole day without hearing the score and we won. A ransom, a sacrifice, an offering. Do you know what? I was booked to speak at a church in Cardiff. Now, Cardiff is a couple of hours away from where I live, just on the edge of Fareham. And it was a football match, again, that was my undoing. I'd watched this game Saturday afternoon, and I knew if I was going to get to Cardiff on time, I really had to leave at half time. And that would give me loads of time to get there and wouldn't be a problem. But it was my team. And I figured, actually, if I watched the whole of the game and just travel a little bit faster down the motorway, I'd get there in good time. So that was my plan. I watched the whole game, As soon as the final whistle went, I grabbed my bag, I grabbed my coat, straight in the car, zooming off, straight down the M4 towards Wales. As I was heading towards Wales, just as you go past Bristol, there is a sign, and it says, bridge ahead, toll bridge, have your money ready. No problem, I'd crossed it lots of times. So I'm driving along, bridge, opened up my glove compartment, sometimes I keep my wallet there, it wasn't there, no panic. Bit closer, felt around, pulled my coat from the back seat, felt in the pockets, no wallet. Now I'm getting worried. Pull over to the side, open up my bag, big panic, no wallet. How was I going to pay to get across the bridge when I'd left my money at home? Easy, I'll blag it. Drove up to the toll, pressed the window, came down. Woman in the toll booth said, £7.50 please. I said, hi. £7.50 please. I said, got a bit of a problem. £7.50 please. I said, I've left my money at home, I need to go across the bridge. She said, if you don't pay, you don't cross. I said, what do I do? She says, you need to reverse back. And this really pleased the whole queue of people who had lined up behind me. Reverse back, park on the side and go and chat to the person in the office on the side. So we all reversed back, drove over to this little office at the side, knocked on the door and the guy come and went, hi. He said, what do you want? I said, I've got a bit of a problem. I said, I need to cross your bridge and I've come out without my money. What do I do? And they're very helpful on the Severn Bridge. He said, you've got a problem. I said, yeah, no, what do I do? He said, look, if you don't pay, mate, you don't cross. I said, but I've got to cross. I'm speaking in an hour in a church. I've got to be there. He said, if you don't pay, you don't cross. I said, but I'll send you the money as soon as I get home on Monday. He said, oh, everyone says that. We never hear from them again. If you don't pay, you don't cross. Now, I tried being nice, so I got angry. I said, look, mate, I'm not joking. You know, I'm hard. I said, I'm going across that bridge, all right? And he said, no, you're not. And I said, yes, I am. And I did like to say, do you want to see me? Because I knew I couldn't get across. So I tried being nasty, that failed. So in the end, I just said, oh, please let me across your bridge. I tried creeping. And the man said to me, he said, look, it is company policy. If you don't pay, you don't cross. And then he said some words to me I've never forgot. He said, you've got an honest face. I have, honest. He said, you've got an honest face. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. Meet me, and he told me a particular booth to go to, so I drove round there. And he came, and he got his own wallet, and he said this. He said, I will pay for you out of my own money. He said, if you don't send it back, he said, you haven't hurt the company, you've hurt me. And he gave the man £10, and the man gave him £2.50 change, and the light went green, and I shot across the bridge and got there with about 5 minutes to spare. But here's the point. I was in debt. I hadn't got any means of paying to cross from where I was to where I was going. I was 100% dependent on the generosity of somebody else who was in credit. And they paid my debt so that I could cross over. Now here's where my story falls down. Because, you'll be glad to know, I wrote the man a checkout and I sent him a present and repaid the debt. But you know, that's a picture of us in God. The Bible says we're separated from God. And the only way to cross over is in and through the person of Jesus. Because if he could take the hand of God and the hand of people, and he's that bridge who links the two. And we can cross over through him. We can move from, the Bible puts it, from death to life. Only through him. Because the thing that separates us, the Bible says, is our sins. The things we do wrong. I bet your parents have never said this to you. Suppose they're going out and you've got a babysitter or big sister or big brother's in charge. I bet just as they leave the door, they've never turned around and said, oh, you lot, remember to be bad, and off we go. Of course not. They never say that, do they? They always say, remember to be... Yeah, because there's something within each one of us where we naturally do that which is wrong. We think bad thoughts, we say bad words, we do bad actions. And the Bible says... sin, middle letter, I'll do what I want instead of ignoring God. So the first part of our verse reminds us that Christ died for our sins. You want to know why my ears are a little bit funny? Because when I was your age, if I did something wrong, I didn't get detention, I didn't get sent to my room, I didn't get my PlayStation taken off me. I got a clip round here. That's why they're a bit funny. Come here. Ooh, don't do that again. I said, oh, sorry, Mum. Now, don't get me wrong. Mum and Dad, they're brilliant. They loved us lots. But when I was your age, you got a clip round here if you did something wrong. Just imagine I'd done something really bad. I walk in the kitchen. My mum says, where have you been? I said, nowhere. Who have you been with? No one, Mum. What have you been up to? Nothing, honest. But mums have got that way, haven't they, of looking at you. They give you the eyes. And you kind of say, well, actually, I've been in the wrong place with the wrong people doing the wrong things. Just imagine if my mum's hand was coming from my ear and just before it hit, somebody else put their head in the way. Whew. They would have taken the smack that I deserved. I got let off because somebody else got punished. Bible says that's what happened at the cross. God ought to punish us for the wrong things we've done, but Jesus got in the way. He took the blame so that you and I don't have to. So the first part of this verse reminds us Christ died for our sins. That means there's no other way to get rid of that problem. You can't earn it. You can't earn forgiveness. It's a gift. Secondly, it reminds us not only did he die for our sins, but he was raised on the third day. Came alive again. Not as a ghost, not as a spook. My little boy's favourite word at the moment is zombie. He went to his friend's house and he had no idea what a zombie is. But his friend was walking around, they were playing sort of chase, Tig, going zombie, zombie. And if they tagged you, you were on. So he keeps walking around the house now going zombie, zombie, you're on and running. Got no idea what a zombie is. But listen, when Jesus came alive, he wasn't a phantom or a ghost or a zombie or a spook. He came alive as a real person. And Peter, he cooked breakfast for him. They sat together on the beach and they ate. And you could prod him and pat him, shake his hand, go for a walk with him. He was alive. The one who had died came alive again. I spent the last couple of weeks doing a lot of schools work, going into secondary schools and junior schools and explaining Easter, especially Good Friday. Why did Jesus die? And at the end of my school assemblies, I kind of finished with a story. And I told the kids about the vicar, very posh vicar, he's super, he was, preached a lovely sermon. And he preached a sermon on Good Friday about the death of Jesus, and it was the bee's knees, it was brilliant. And he finished his sermon, and like all preachers do, he went and stood by the door. And people followed out and said, thanks mate, that was good, nice speech, good word. There were all lots of comments, and the vicar said, thank you, come again, thank you, super, come again. And then one snotty little kid walked up and went, he said, not bad mate, not bad. And the vicar said, oh, thank you little boy, thank you, off you go. And the kid said, oh, just one mistake. And the vicar said, I beg your pardon. He said, it was a good sermon, he said, but just one mistake. And the vicar said, what? And the little kid said, well, you left him on the cross, didn't you? And off he went. And the vicar realised he'd preached this brilliant sermon talking about how Jesus died and why he died. But he left him there. Dead people can't help anyone. My dad can't help me. Do you know why? Because he's dead. My granddad can't help me. Do you know why? Because he's dead. Only the living can help us. And because Jesus is alive, he's available. Now, he didn't stay on planet Earth. After 40 days, the Bible says he ascended, he went back into heaven. Do you know why he didn't stay on planet Earth? Here's one reason. Because in a physical body, remember Jesus who walked planet Earth, same Jesus came alive again, meant he could only be in one place at one time. He was on the beach cooking fish, or he was in the house with the disciples, or he was walking along the road to Emmaus. He was only in one place at one time. But the Bible says when he went back to heaven, by his Spirit, he could be with Christians everywhere. Christians in Jerusalem, Christians in South Africa, Christians in Australia, Christians in Gosport. He can be with his people wherever they are. And that's encouraging because that means he's not just in church on a Sunday. He can be with me tomorrow at work or you the next day at school. So he came alive for lots of reasons. But one of the reasons he went back to heaven is so that he could be with all his people all the time. So Christ died for our sins. Do you know, if you say to most people in the street, how do you find forgiveness? They'll tell you 101 ways. Some will say live a good life. Now that's important, but it doesn't get rid of sin. Some will say go to church. That's important. Doesn't get rid of sin. Some will say do a penance. Do something, you know, a religious duty. Doesn't get rid of our sin. Only one thing forgives the past. And that's when we put our trust in the person of Jesus. How can we do that? Because he's alive. There was a famous preacher, a bit like Billy Graham. The older ones know who Billy Graham is. He'd fill a football stadium and he'd talk to them about Jesus. And his name was B.L. Moody. And he lived a couple of hundred years ago. And he was preaching, this time not in a football stadium, but in a street corner. And he had hundreds of people who stood before him. And the guy in the front row didn't like him. And he kept shouting out rude things. Kept teasing him and mocking him and joking about him. And D.L. Moody was preaching, and this guy said, okay, he said, tell me, Mr. Moody. He said, how far is it to heaven then? And D.L. Moody said, it's one step. Will you take it? See, God is only a prayer away. If we come honestly, humbly, he's willing to hear us, to forgive and to forget. Put it away, whatever it is. Thirdly, hey, Christ died for our sins, was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's jargon. It means just as the Bible said he would. Just as the Bible said he would. Now this is the New Testament. The Bible's in two halves. You've got the old and the new. When Jesus was on planet Earth, this bit hadn't been written. All they had was the Old Testament, 39 books. But they were important because they told us the events of the future. There's a thing in the Bible called prophecy. That's predicting the future. Here's a prediction. Someone on Saturday is going to win the lottery. Now I can see you're amazed by that, aren't you? Now you know anyone could make that statement. It's so broad. Anyone can say it and it's going to come true. But suppose I said someone on Saturday living in Gosport is going to win the lottery. And suppose I say someone on Saturday in Gosport is going to buy their ticket in a newsagent. And suppose I say someone on Saturday in Gosport will buy their ticket in a newsagent and that person will have a beard. Now the more descriptions I give you, we're taking something very big and we're making it smaller and smaller and smaller. And if I gave you 10 descriptions or 20, eventually it can't be anyone, it can only be one particular person. Now the Bible, or the Old Testament, is full of predictions about the one who was to come. We know him as Jesus. Before he came to planet Earth, they called him the Messiah, or the Christ. And God told us what he would be like, and what he would do, so that when he came, it wouldn't be a mystery. And we could identify him as God's special one. Do you know what? With prophecies, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. For what? 5, 6, 7, 8. For one person, that's the best way, to fulfill 8 Bible prophecies, let me give you an illustration. It's the same as, what's your name? Keris, that's a good name. Suppose I gave Keris a 50 pence piece. And then I covered the whole of the United Kingdom, 2 foot high in 50 pence pieces. And I said, Keris, go and hide it any way you like. Go up to Scotland if you want, just outside Glasgow, hide it. Or go down to Wales if you want, just outside Cardiff, hide it. You can walk anywhere you like in the UK with a 50 pence piece that's marked and hide it in 2 foot high of 50 pence pieces. And then suppose I said, what's your name?
Hope.
Hope, that's a good name. Suppose I said, Hope, I'm going to put a blindfold on you. Now you can walk anywhere in the UK, and you're only allowed to bend down once and pick up a 50p. The same chance that Hope would pick up the one Keris hid is the same mathematical odds of one person to fill in 8 Bible prophecies, according to Professor Rob Stoner in his book Science Speaks. It's a mathematical law of probability. It's almost impossible. Now, on the day Jesus died, he didn't fulfill 8 or 10 or 16 or 20 or 25, he fulfilled over 30 different predictions or prophecies. And those kind of odds don't fit on your calculator. He was unique. Everything he did in accordance with the scriptures. So Christ died. Not as a martyr, not as an accident. Hey, he died for our sins. For the wrong things you've done, the wrong things I've done. Let me ask you. Are you aware that someone else has paid the price for you? He came alive again. Not as a ghost or a spirit. If he's alive, he's available. He's only a prayer away, according to the Bible. A brilliantly reliable, accurate record. So there's two proofs Jesus is alive. One, we have it recorded in historic writings. And two, because people meet him. Billy Graham, I mentioned earlier, the famous preacher, he was being interviewed by David Frost, famous interviewer. And David Frost said to him, look, how do you know Jesus is alive? And Billy Graham replied, well, I spoke to him this morning. True, isn't it? Millions of Christians around the world say, hey, I speak to him. He hears me. He speaks to me. I know him as a friend. As a saviour. Now, thank you for listening. My time has gone. Let's just pray together, shall we? Let's just have all eyes closed, all heads bowed. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you did die. You have risen. You're now glorified in heaven. And even one day you'll come again. Lord, help us just to consider these facts and be able to apply them to our lives, for we ask it. In your special and unique name, amen. Thank you. Just as we conclude with our hymn, I know David mentioned some booklets over there. I always bring booklets with me. I've got two, actually. One for the youngsters, if you'd like a little leaflet explaining what Easter's all about, then come and ask me for one, and I'll let you have one. I'll just say, there you are. Not too scary, am I, hope? You can have one if you want, all right? Come and see me afterwards. And for the adults, there's one called The Missing Piece. And maybe Easter. Or maybe this morning, God has just shown you something. The final piece of the jigsaw in you coming to faith. If you'd like a booklet, come and ask for one. I'll say, there you are. Won't embarrass you in conversation. You can take it away and read it. If you've got any questions, you do want to chat, or you want to go somewhere quiet, the room next door, just to pray, more than happy to do that. So ask me for a booklet, or if you want to know any more, please see me afterwards. Let's conclude, shall we, with our final hymn. In the tomb, so cold they laid him. Death its victim claimed. Powers of hell, they could not hold him. Back to life he came.